In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, we are in good company. We have invoked Our Lady, teacher of prayer, Saint Joseph, that master of the interior life, our guardian angel, to intercede for us as we listen to you and talk with you. And we ask for grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. Whenever we come into your presence to listen to you, we want it to be fruitful, that we go away with some idea, some resolution to change, improve in some way our life, some inspiration, some idea that can help us to address a particular problem, to deal with a particular person. And affections, the affections like love, like sorrow, like hope and faith. And Lord, help us to make this time of prayer fruitful, as today we pray about the importance of our formation, of our growth in love for you, our understanding of the Church's teachings, so that we can be effective witnesses of you in the world. You formed the apostles. St. Mark tells us that in the 9th chapter of his Gospel. He says, they went on from there and passed through Galilee, and he would not have anyone know it, for he was teaching his disciples. You didn't want others to bother you. You were spending time forming, teaching the apostles. And they needed that formation, because you were going to send them out to all nations, as you were going to do before you ascended into heaven. St. Matthew relates that final encounter with them and the great mission you entrusted to them. He says, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the close of the age. And Lord, if we look at those men that you were sending out, who were they? They were fishermen in the main, uneducated, people that others would not necessarily listen to. Who would listen to a fisherman? And yet you were sending them out, and not just to Israel, not just to Judea or Galilee, but to all nations, to the whole world. And they went out, and Thomas went to India, and James to Spain, and to all parts of that known world. They went out. And they transformed that world, even though they were fishermen. And you wanted them to make disciples, people that would follow you in all of those nations, to baptize, to give the sacraments, and to teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. How are they going to do that? How were fishermen and a tax collector going to go to other nations where they didn't know the language, preach the gospel in your name, and bring about conversions as they did? They needed formation. And you spent long hours teaching them about you, about the Father and the Holy Spirit, about this church that you were founding on them, about the role of Mary in their life as mother, about the sacraments, the Mass, and you gave them instruction on how to celebrate the Mass. In the Last Supper, to be sure, you had said, do this in commemoration of me. But now, undoubtedly, you explained in greater detail how they were to celebrate the Eucharist and the importance of communion and the importance of baptism and its effects and confirmation and the sacrament of penance for the forgiveness of sins. You needed to explain all of that to them, to form them in what is now called the liturgy. And you needed to form them in all those matters of morals. You explained that in the Sermon on the Mount. Your forefathers learned, thou shalt not kill, but I say to you. Your forefathers learned, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say to you. But now privately you would form them even more, so that they were equipped to go out on that great mission. They fulfilled their mission, going out into a totally pagan world, and they transformed it. And Lord, if we look now at our own world, what do we see? We see a society which in so many places is called post-Christian, where the faith had deep roots, but fewer people practicing their faith, not having that impact on society. And society loses its Christian ethos, and laws are passed that undermine Christian values, and the media do not reflect the faith that we profess, and education is often without any reference to God and to moral and ethical values, and business is done in ways that are dishonest. This is our world, and Lord, it is in this world that you send us out, and we too have that great mission to re-Christianize society, to carry out that new evangelization, and that mission is so important. And when we look at the numbers that we are, perhaps we say, but we're only a few. We are few, but there are many others like us, and not only Catholics, but other Christians too, and Mormons and Muslims share some of our values, family values especially. And together we can make a difference, but we too need formation. Pope John Paul II, in his apostolic exhortation, Christi Fidelis Laici, the lay faithful, on the vocation and the mission of the lay faithful in the Church and in the world, written in 1988, following a synod of bishops meeting on that topic, wrote, in this dialogue between God who offers his gifts and the person who is called to exercise responsibility, there comes the possibility and indeed the necessity of a total and ongoing formation of the lay faithful, as the Synod Fathers have rightly emphasized in much of their work. After having described Christian formation as a continual process in the individual of maturation in faith and a likening to Christ according to the will of the Father, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, they have clearly affirmed that the formation of the lay faithful must be placed among the priorities of a diocese. The formation of the lay faithful, a great priority, because yes, we are called to be your witnesses, to be light in the world, salt of the earth, leaven in the dough. But in order to do that, we need to be one with you. We need to be with a deep spiritual life. We need to know our faith to be able to give an account of the hope that is in us, as St. Peter writes in his first letter. And so many of our Catholic faithful know very little. When others ask them, why does your church oppose abortion and euthanasia and same-sex marriage? They don't really know how to give an answer. And when their own personal light is practically gone out because they hardly pray, they don't go to Mass on Sundays, or their faith is minimal, How can they be that light of the world? How can they be that witness to you? We all need formation to be better witnesses to you in this world, to bring you into it, to re-Christianize society. We have to change this world. Is that an easy task? No, it's not. And we are not many. But then, Lord, how many did you have? Did you send out into that world? 12. 12 men. Yes, assisted by the Holy Spirit when he came down on them on Pentecost. And they went out and preached in all those different languages and brought about many conversions even on that Pentecost Sunday. Only 12, though. And they went out to all nations. We are many more. We are far more. And yes, our society is very pagan too, very atheistic, very secularist, very hedonistic. But we have you with us. You are with us all through the days that are coming until the close of the age, as you told the apostles. You are with us. The church is with us. We are strengthened by the church, by our fellow Catholics. We can do this. And St. Jose Maria writes about the influence that we can have on the environment. In his book, The Way, in number 376, he says, "There is no denying the influence of environment, you've told me." And I have to answer, quite. That is why you have to be formed in such a way that you carry your own environment about with you in a natural manner, and so give your own tone to the society in which you live. And then, if you have acquired this spirit, I am sure you will tell me with the amazement of the disciples as they contemplated the first fruits of the miracles being worked by their hands in Christ's name, there's no denying our influence on environment. And Lord, when we look at the environment around us, it is hostile to you. It is pagan. But we carry our own environment. We should be the influence on the environment, that we change those immediately around us, and ultimately we can change society. We can change culture. Is this a big challenge? Of course it is. But you are with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. But we need for this formation. And Pope John Paul II goes on in Christi Fidelis Laici to speak about the particular aspects of that formation. In number 60 of that document, he writes, "There is no doubt that spiritual formation ought to occupy a privileged place in a person's life. Everyone is called to grow continually in intimate union with Jesus Christ, in conformity to the Father's will, in devotion to others, in charity and justice." The Council writes, and that's of course the Second Vatican Council, "This life of intimate union with Christ in the Church is nourished by spiritual helps available to all the faithful, especially by active participation in the liturgy. Lay people should make use of these helps in such a way that, while properly fulfilling their secular duties in the ordinary conditions of life, they do not dissociate union with Christ from that life, but through the very performance of their tasks according to God's will, they actually grow in it." Spiritual formation, a spiritual life, which the Pope mentions especially involves intimate union with Christ in the Church. Love for you, Lord. We should all ask ourselves, what is the state of my interior life, of my relationship with you? Do I have a daily plan of prayers and times to be alone with you? Do I have some time for mental prayer, which we are doing now? Do I do some spiritual reading? Those many authors over the centuries, including today, who can nourish our spiritual life. Tell us more about you. Help us to grow in love for you. The rosary, that we say that rosary in which we meditate on your life, from your infancy through your public life, your passion and death, and your glorification. We are praying about you. We are praying to Mary. We grow in our spiritual life when we say the rosary. Attendance at Mass, and the Pope has mentioned especially active participation in the liturgy. Whenever we go to Mass, we grow in understanding of you and love for you. We listen to your word in the readings. Perhaps there's a homily that helps us to put those readings into practice in our daily life. We receive you in Holy Communion. There is no more intimate union with you on earth than Holy Communion, where, as you said in the synagogue of Capernaum, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood lives in me, and I in him. We are one with you. This is spiritual life, and we grow so much in it through the Mass and Holy Communion. And then those other prayers, the morning offering, the Angelus, the Memorare, that examination of conscience before we go to bed to see how we have gone. Have we lived a spiritual life today? We need spiritual formation. And we can gain it in all of the ways we just mentioned. And in addition, of course, by spiritual direction, that we have someone in our life that we can go to who helps us, who passes on their own experience. It can be a priest, it can be a lay person, but someone who has a deep spiritual life. And then we can attend meditations, talks, retreats, days of recollection. All of these help us to grow spiritually. We need to be alive. We need to be in love with you so that others are drawn to you through us. That people will say to us what I've heard said a number of times only recently. Someone says to a practicing Catholic, I want what you have. They see the joy we have, the concern for them, the honesty, the virtues, the faith. They're drawn to Christ through us. But that depends wholly on our spiritual formation. The second aspect of our formation, doctrinal. Pope John Paul writes, the situation today points to an ever-increasing urgency for a doctrinal formation of the lay faithful, not simply in a better understanding, which is natural to faith's dynamism, but also in enabling them to give a reason for their hope in view of the world and its grave and complex problems. Therefore, a systematic approach to catechesis, geared to age and the diverse situations of life, is an absolute necessity, as is a more decided Christian promotion of culture in response to the perennial yet always new questions that concern individuals and society today. Doctrinal formation, because we have to give an account of the hope that is in us, as the Pope writes, quoting St. Peter, because so many are ignorant. They don't know the very basics of who is God. Where did this universe come from? Is there life after death? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there purgatory? Why does the Church teach these matters of morals that we mentioned before? Abortion, euthanasia, same-sex marriage, and so many more. We need to know our faith so that we can first live it ourselves and then help others who are so ignorant to learn those basic truths. And Lord, we might ask, first, what level of understanding of the Catholic faith do I have? Do I know it thoroughly? And then we can ask, how can I acquire this doctrinal formation? in a very simple way by reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church. It came out in English in 1994. It has helped so many to learn their faith. Or perhaps we might use the compendium of the Catechism, or books that are written that explain the Catechism. And amongst them, this work that we produced in Sydney, Journey into Truth, a series of 24 half-hour talks on the faith on DVDs with beautiful images, film clips, quotations on the screen to make it enjoyable. And as we listen to those 24 half-hour talks, they cover the Catechism. There are 9 on the Creed, 5 on the sacraments, 8 on morals, 2 on prayer. We would learn the faith very well following those DVDs and the accompanying book, also entitled Journey into Truth. Many in many countries have found them very helpful. And that other book, The Faith Explained, by Father Leo Tracy. And there are others. But Lord, if we want to learn our faith, perhaps we haven't been taught it very thoroughly in our schooling, but we can learn it on our own by taking up these books or DVDs and attending talks, classes on the faith. And if we have questions, we can ask someone who knows, that we learn our faith well so that we can give an account of the hope that is in us. And then thirdly, human formation. The Pope goes on, the cultivation of human values finds a place in the context of a totally integrated formation, bearing a particular significance for the missionary and apostolic activities of the lay faithful. In this regard, the Council wrote, the lay faithful should also hold in high esteem professional skill, family and civic spirit, and the virtues related to social behavior, namely honesty, a spirit of justice, sincerity, courtesy, moral courage. Without them, there is no true Christian life. And Lord, we might add, and without them, there is no true Christian witness. Let us suppose that a person wanted to evangelize others, but this person was dishonest in his or her work, was foul-mouthed, was lazy, arrived at work late, left early, wasted time at work, spoke about impure things and told impure jokes. What witness would that person give? But when, on the contrary, that person has, as the Pope mentions, professional skill, they are respected by their fellow workers, they have family and civic spirit, they are family people who look after their family, who speak about their children, about their spouse with great love and affection. And they have those virtues related to social behavior, honesty, spirit of justice, sincerity, courtesy, moral courage, concern for others, we might add, humility, cheerfulness, joy. What a witness they can be. But for that, we need human formation too. And this we acquire just in living with others through the help that others can give us in spiritual direction, through talks that we attend, books that we read, many ways of acquiring that human formation. And then, although the Pope doesn't mention it, apostolic formation, to be a true apostle, a true witness to Christ, to find the best way of passing on our faith, passing on our values, witnessing to Christ in all aspects. And how can we do that best? Most commonly, simply by human friendship, that we become a friend of these people. We spend time having a cup of coffee, having a beer, having lunch with them, chatting about their family, about ours, about their values, about how they see life, how they see the future. We get to know them, and we pass on our ideas, our own experience, and we are helping them to grow in love for Christ, in knowledge of the faith. And many will say, I want what you have. And then we can take them to those same means of formation that we attend and have in our life. Formation is so important, first for ourselves. The more we know about our faith, about you, about the Blessed Trinity, about the importance of the sacraments, about moral life, about prayer, the more we can love you, the more we can be truly alive in our faith. And then we are on the way to heaven. And what is more, we are happy here because we are truly seeking holiness. And the saint is in love. That is what sanctity is, love for God. And those who are in love are happy. We see this around us, someone who has met a new boyfriend or girlfriend, someone who is engaged, someone who has just got married, someone who has been married for many years, in love, always happy. Yes, they suffer too, but they have that great joy of life. Lord, the more we are well formed and come to know you and love you, the happier we will be here and we will be firmly on the road to heaven. But then secondly, through our own formation, through our own spiritual life, we will help many others to find you and love you and go to heaven too. And this is our great mission, to find souls who are lost, bring them back to Christ, to the sheepfold, that they can experience the joy of faith, the joy of belonging to the church, the joy of being firmly on the way to eternal life in heaven. And then little by little, too, we can evangelize our culture. We can have better politicians who can pass better laws. We can have journalists who can speak of Christian values and do it in a natural way. We can have filmmakers and songwriters who bring Christian values to bear through their work into culture and education, that we have more teachers, professors who are truly Christian, who can help their students to understand these values, so much that we can teach them through education. The world of business, that there be business people who are ethical, who run their businesses according to the laws of God. And they will do good business because people can trust them. They will know they are honest. To transform culture in all of its aspects. Lord, this is the mission that you have entrusted to us. The mission that you sent out the apostles to carry out, and they were successful. And now you send us out. Help us to be successful too. We ask the Holy Spirit, who inspired the apostles, coming down on them on Pentecost and giving them that gift of tongues to go out and speak all of those languages of people, help us to be truly on fire with love, that we can go out and renew the face of the earth. And we ask Our Lady, Mary, you brought Christ into the world to give him to the whole of humanity. He sent the apostles out. Help us to receive him into our life as you did. Help us to grow in our spiritual formation, in our doctrinal formation, in our human formation, and apostolic formation, so that we can help others individually and through all of us transform culture. It is a great task. Mary, help us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.